This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey. Chapter 53. Sleepy white clouds drifted in the high breeze. A bright blue sky patched the gaps, and the sun came and went through lazy shadows. Corvin, its summit a small table of sloping rock and a massive pillar, was surrounded by mountain and sea. Either side, a string of peaks were threaded together by a steep rocky ridge that dropped in giddy slopes to secluded blue lochans, twinkling bright and pretty in the folds of tortured rock.
"I want to show you something," said Tom.
He turned to the sea, Catriona silent by his side. Neither boy nor girl flinched as a large sphere, suddenly there, drew towards them with slow, intelligent purpose. Its surface, if such a thing can be described so, was an intangible play of convoluted, shifting colours, transparent as glass, solid as air. Catriona was dreaming. This strange sight, an unquestioned fact that needed no explanation. Standing on the mountain, wrapped in a world of imagined substance, imagined words, and imagined time, Tom felt no need to hurry or to bludgeon the girl's tranquil fantasy. She believed what she saw. Everything was dream time normal.
"This is how I got here, how I travel."
The sphere, closer and closer still, filled her vision, forming and conforming to the surrounding rock so that its centre remained clean and untouched by the world through which it journeyed. So much was returning to Tom, so much waited for him to explore. He now recognised the mountain, understood its significance, but his priorities were with Catriona, finding a way out. He took her then, with a disjointed efficiency of thought, to his birthing cliff by Cregan, replayed those snatched moments of life he'd so far recovered.
"This is a dream," said Catriona.
Tom eased her towards reality.
"A dream, yes."
He took her hand. "But not all dreams are false," he said. And then, watching events at Cregan, Tom tried to skirt the memory of her father's fate. But Catriona suddenly stiffened, and Tom knew that her pain was too powerful, too important to ignore. Her journey towards a nightmare had begun. Watching Callum struggle, Tom tried to keep the sound of cracking bone from his mind, but heard it just the same, shared it reluctantly with the broken man's daughter. They moved on, Tom lingering over the healing serum applied to his arm and Callum's leg, labouring the hope he prayed it would bring her. By the time he was finished, Catriona, in her dream, understood all she needed to know that Tom could give her. Their thoughts entwined, Tom realised that Catriona's blind acceptance of the dream was not the same as true belief, but in the brief connection of minds, he was preparing her for what was yet to come her way, for a moment when explanations took time, when the only thing that mattered is how, and how fast, they acted together. He showed her the rescue, the helicopter, the photograph of his sister, Silas's house, the lab, the old man's transformation. And then at last, steeling himself for the deadly connection between now and then, he let her share an instant with him in the cubicle, the white flies, the bubbling skin, the acid pain, his bizarre escape. That same trick, that power he needed to repeat now, a journey through time that could kill her as surely as the man who held them. In the logic of the dream, Katriana accepted Tom's answer when she asked what had happened. "I'm from the future. Tessa, Silas and me." They stood atop the mountain again, the coloured orb waiting his unspoken command. "My sister and I, we're different from others. We can travel unharmed." He pointed to the object before them. "Silas cannot." "Then why did he do it?" Katriana could have been talking about an airsick passenger on a transglobe flight. Tom dug deep, but found nothing. "I don't know." But despite the speed of their transaction, Tom knew that time was ticking in the cavern. He started to explain what he intended to do. "The Earth rotates. It journeys through space, through the galaxy and through the universe." A faint noise beyond the world he created barely reached him through his focus on the girl. "People have wondered for centuries why no one has visited them from the future, but they have." Katriana, her father coming and going in her thoughts, nodded her head with distracted interest. "They all died, and no one knew why until a man called George Smith in 2355 pointed out the obvious. You cannot travel in time alone. From 1 second to another, the place you were shifts at speeds beyond." And at that instant, before he could finish the thought, Silas's voice, accompanied by a slap across his face, shattered Corvin, the mountain and sea, his union with Katriana.
"Wake up, boy."
Silas seemed to glow in the reflected light of the lamp, his bald head a beacon with eyes. To his left, Katriana flinched, a sudden extended moan filling the cavern.
"Oh, this brings back so many memories."
Tom squeezed Katriana's hand, tried to comfort her without taking his eyes from Silas. He had to act quickly. Silas was ready. Somewhere, locked deep and safe, the memories that had so far eluded him rose closer to the light. He instinctively looked at Silas's hand and saw the thing he'd readied. The small rod, innocent as a horsewhip, deadly as a cattle prod, pointed down, tapping lightly against his lower leg. Tom was not frightened of the weapon for his own sake. For him, there was worse to come. But the rod, for some reason akin to sentimentality, was Silas's favourite tool of pain he used on his mother. It was as though it brought him closer to the power he wielded, an intimate connection between him and his victim. He brought the tip up and ran it lightly across Katriana's cheek.
"Here's what we do, boy."
Tom strained to watch the girl, still unconscious, her head pushed into the back of the chair, a reflex action to escape the menace intruding into her dream.
"I'm going to join you now, and we're going to leave here together."
Tom tried to sound calm. He had to keep control of his thoughts. "It'll kill you."
"I'll survive."
Tom noted the shudder run through Silas's body as both he and the boy remembered the awful shape the man had been in when he'd arrived at Cregan.
"There was no help here. Medicine was primitive. That won't be the case on the other side."
His fingers tightened around the handle, a precursor, Tom knew, to the shocking stab of current that could leap from its tip. Tom tried to distract him. "If I do this, you'll leave her alone." Silas smiled his horrible smile, his teeth stained with his own blood.
"Why would I hurt her?"
"What if I can't do it?"
"There are many ways this could turn out. I doubt that's one you'd like."
"What about Tessa?" Silas ignored his question.
"We are going to join, all three of us. I'll know every thought you think, every action before you take it."
As he spoke, Silas removed the rod from Katriana's face, collapsed and stowed it on his belt. He took his own seat, leaned forward and reached out, left and right hands to either side of the girl and boy, completing the triangle, closing the circuit that would bind them together for what was yet to come.
"Remember, boy, I don't have the patience I once had. I will kill her."
Tom had no doubt that Silas spoke the truth. He felt the bony hand cover his bound wrist, the touch more repugnant than ever. He had no choice. If he took him away from here, Catriona and her father would be safe. But as he prepared to do as he was told, a billion voices, somehow entangled with the thoughts he dredged from that deep place, screamed in terror, and Tom squirmed in his seat, trying to push them away to concentrate on nothing but what he had to do. A voice, Silas's, boomed in his head, and at the same moment the chair, the brace at the back of his neck, jolted to life. The sound pushed the cacophony down, suppressed the mass of humanity crying, pleading for his help.
"You're no concern of yours, Tom. They're sinners. It's time to go."
With Silas in his thoughts, Tom pushed them away. He sensed Catriona join them, felt her anguish flow through her and into him. He had to be strong. He had to keep the secrets from Silas. Compartmentalize. He forced himself to give the man what he wanted, to keep him happy until he was ready. At every moment, his thoughts and plans threatened to surface, and he forced them down and down, bringing the image of their journey to the future to the front, distracting him with visions of success. In this mindset, splitting his personality in two, Tom began.
Chapter 54. They stood atop Corvin, the same clouds, the same drifting shadows, the same gut-churning cliffs. Silas and Tom looked at each other, enmity flowing between them like poison gas.
"Bring the girl."
Tom wanted to separate them, to sublimate Catriona to another compartment he could work on in secret, bury his link to her in his subconscious. But Silas was adamant, and refusing him would look suspicious. Catriona drifted into view. She looked from Tom to the man behind her, eyes popping, nostrils flaring. She threw herself at him, fingers clawed, ready to rip another hole in his face. Silas simply vanished and reappeared on the peak directly behind her.
"Control the witch, or I'll do it for you."
Tom placed a hand on the girl's shoulder, felt her hatred mingle with his.
"We'll be gone soon. You'll be safe."
Silas butted in, not with words, but with an image he projected to the pair, an image that explained what he expected to happen in a flash. Tom, Catriona and Silas looked at themselves floating in a giant square in the sky, a screen with no substance, as real as the mountain they stood on. Through the strange detached window, they sat in the cavern, boy and girl bound to each other, their faces twisted in anguish. Silas, his disfigured expression inscrutable, suddenly grinned, and an instant later disappeared with Tom from the chair. As they did, Catriona's bound hand was suddenly free, and she awoke. She could now go to her father, get help. The message was clear, no words needed. Tom and Silas would never be seen again in their lifetime. It was a powerful statement, but as Tom watched, his outward appearance defeated, he struggled to hide his suppressed thoughts. Deep in some locked chamber, the sinners screamed a collective wail of despair, drowning him in inconsolable sadness, swamping him with a sense that in doing as he was told, he was somehow condemning them to a pitiless, infinite hell. He squashed the destructive cacophony, tried to smile at the girl, told her, in thought, that she would be okay, everything would be fine. Tom turned to the sea and prepared to conjure the sphere. But as he did, a cloud, unlike its fluffy neighbours, caught his attention. Darker, it moved against the breeze, flowing its own course, swooping this way and that as though alive. If he hadn't seen it before, the cloud would have been a curious artifact of the dream world he created to link the trio together. But Tom understood it perfectly. Hour by hour, fact by fact, a snatch of meaning here, A sudden insight there.
The fog of the accident by the cliff lifted.
He recognised the cloud and saw an opportunity, a diversion that could buy him the time he needed to reconcile his conscience with his desire to save the girl. He turned his attention to the cloud, noting as he did that Silas did not flinch. He expected nothing more. Looking at the thing, it drew towards them, its substance breaking to tiny dots, and then growing in size to form an enormous flock that hugged itself and turned and dived as one, birds of the strangest form that to Tom seemed as normal as the land itself. Closer and closer still, they took shape, formed themselves to words, familiar words, dream words. With these symbols he could control everything, retrieve memories lost, recall maps, a quadrillion facts and figures, images, sounds and smells. He imagined his destination, and it came to him, circling his head until he reached out and grasped it with his left hand. Catriona looked on, puzzled but silent. The figures Tom selected were not exactly words, they were numbers. 2999. As Tom's fingers curled around the circling date, it stopped, its brown surface now a melting red, spreading over his hand, his arm, engulfing him. Corvin, the sky, mountain and sea disappeared, replaced by a black void. A universe where the objects surrounding them were not planets and stars, but clusters of light that seemed to shine internally, swooping this way and that, each group a colour, blues, reds, yellows and oranges. Tom did not need to do this. He wasn't like the others. He alone could control the sphere by simply deciding to do so. But he remembered now Silas's endless instructions. This is how it should be done.
Use dream words, boy. That's what it's for.
Edinburgh Castle. This was their destination. He thought the words, and from a distant constellation they flew at him, circling his head until once more he reached out and drew them all, Catriona, Tom and Silas, towards their ultimate goal. Tom did all this as an automaton, an accountant accessing a spreadsheet. Click, click, click. But Silas was transfixed, his expectation rising with every step, Catriona calmly accepting whatever came her way. But beneath the automotive actions, Tom's subconscious, his other self, snatched at brief insights, alternative actions, moulding his plan until he could almost taste it. Standing on cobbled stones in a dark castle, the clouds above them scudded swarms of living words, and Tom brought the sphere closer. Big enough to hold Silas and the boy, it drifted slowly towards them. As it neared, and before he allowed the thing to engulf them, Tom turned to Catriona, reached out, clasped her hands in his. They embraced, the hate and bile consuming them suddenly gone. Tom sensed an unformed thought in Catriona's mind.
"Don't go,"
it said, but she forced it down, killed it at birth.
"Bring her,"
the man said. The pair of them looked at Silas in surprise, the icy breath of evil freezing the precious moment to a frigid and awkward silence. The distraction was enough for Tom to lose the focus on suppressing his thoughts. It was only for an instant, but in communion with Catriona, she suddenly felt that fear. Not for Tom himself, but for them. Strangers. So many of them. The despair of a billion frightened people. She gasped in shock at the enormity of the secret held tight within the boy's muffled thoughts. They broke contact, Silas's cruel smile an indication that he'd misconstrued her reaction.
"Stay. Go. I could care less."
He grasped Tom by the arm and turned him away from the girl. Tom let his grip fall, his world suddenly devoid of all meaning. But as the sphere closed on Silas and Tom, Catriona threw herself at the boy, wrapping her arms around his neck, tears of frustration, confusion tearing her apart. At her touch, Tom knew that she understood there was more to this than the lives of four people, understood that they had to fight, understood too that in doing so, they might lose the small victory of life they appeared to have won. No words were exchanged. and once more Silas was preoccupied by his short-term goals, the notion of self-sacrifice too removed from his current state to register that what he witnessed was anything more than the selfishness of parting love.
"Touching,"
he mocked. The sphere closed around them, Catriona suddenly alone. Tom had decided what to do, but he did not voice the decision, pushed it from the upper reaches of self they all shared. To take the journey with the girl could kill her, but as Silas said, where they intended to go, medicine could save her. She could live. They could live together. But what of her father? The sinners crying for help. So, he would take her. He would bring Silas. All three would travel together. Not, however, exactly as the man had ordered. As the glimmer of a smile spread over Silas's lips, Tom reached through the shimmering bubble and grasped Catriona's arm. He pulled hard, drawing her to him, and in that same instant, as he felt Silas dig his fingernails into his bound wrist in the real world of the cave, he could sense him stand, the fingers suddenly slack, the link in the chair about to be broken. But Tom knew it was too late. They were moving, and there was nothing the monster holding them could do about it.
DreamWorks.com.